Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 90 for our first reading. Psalm 90, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So now we embark in this next book of the Psalter, book 4, and it is indeed one of the shortest books in the Psalter, Psalm 90 through 106. We have, as we look at it here, a different introduction, indeed a unique introduction to any of the Psalms. This is a Psalm that mentions Moses by name as the author of Psalm 90. We don't doubt that. We believe that Moses wrote Psalm 90, that it was preserved throughout those several hundreds of years during that span between Moses and the final codifying of the Psalter by Ezra after the days of the exile. All of that is indeed certainly more than possible. It is verified to us by infallible Scripture. This is a prayer of Moses, the man of God, and we need not doubt that. This begins a cycle of psalms that go largely as orphan psalms. The next few psalms, I don't remember exactly how many, but if we just take a quick look here, we don't have an authorship mentioned until 103, it looks like. And so that doesn't mean that they're all Mosaic between Psalms 90 and 102. But if we think of them with that in mind, while there may be one or two that would evince themselves as being outside of the Mosaic era, there are many that have strong application to the days of Moses. And if you think about Moses and what he did and when he would have been writing these psalms, if there are indeed more than one written by him, and please understand I'm not being dogmatic but suggestive on these things, that Certainly, there's some insight into Moses himself. Psalm 90 even grants to us some very important things. First of all, remember that Moses led a group of people through the wilderness going to a land of promise. And yet there was a point at which the Lord told Moses, you will not enter into that land. You will not enter into that good land. You remember what happened that day. He became frustrated with the people of God and angry, called them rebels. The Lord had told him to speak to the rock. He didn't speak to it, rather, he struck it. And that was indeed outside of the Lord's command. And so Moses had refused to honor the Lord before the people. That's the Lord's own accusation to him. And so it was for that the Lord said, you will not enter into the good land. Moses besought the Lord that he might go in. And the Lord not only told him no, but he told him, don't ask me anymore. And so Moses was able to go up to the top of Nebo or Pisgah and look over the land, but he was not allowed to go into it. Now you might think that would be devastating for a man such as Moses, who spent his whole life working toward that end, the exodus of the people, the setting up of the tabernacle, the conquest of Canaan was ever before his eyes. Instead, he was to prepare his successor, Joshua, to go in and do that. And yet, you say, Pastor Riddell, where are you going with all of this? Listen to what Moses says. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Moses understood that the reward, my dear brothers and sisters, hear me well. The reward is not heaven. The reward is certainly not your best life now. The reward is God himself. This is what the Lord told Abraham when he appeared to him at a time when Abraham was at a crisis in his faith. I am your exceeding great reward, your shining shield. Moses repeats that ideology here when he says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And we do people a disservice when we bring them to church or bring them to Christ and present them with a gospel that will answer to all of their needs, because they'll be healthy, they'll be happy, they'll be this and they'll be that. What answers to our needs is having God as our covenant God. That's what answers to our needs. That God himself would condescend to be our shining shield and exceeding great reward, to be our dwelling place in all generations. This is what Moses came to understand. He got his eyes off of the land and got them on God. What kind of a God is this who would indeed make himself available to his people? This is what we see here in Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Now, what kind of a God is that is our dwelling place? He's a God that existed before the mountains, before the earth and the world were formed. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And so if God is our dwelling place, if God is our portion, it can never be undone. It can never come to a place where we would be vagabonds again, because we dwell with him. And he is before the mountains. Think of the strongest place, the most protected place, the most fortified place that you could think of in the world, the mountains, and God is before them and after them. So, in recognizing that, then, the Lord helps us to recognize that, to see us, by turning man unto destruction and causing us to know our frailty. Notice what he says. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. And then we hear that timelessness, for 1,000 years in thy sight is but yesterday when it's past, as a watch in the night. And we ourselves, we're carried away like a flood. We are like asleep. We're like the grass that grows up and is withered by evening. That's who we are. This is why, indeed, we must apply to this God who is everlasting, who is from everlasting to everlasting. We are consumed by thine anger, by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. How is it that our secret sins are set in the light of the countenance of the Lord and then that made manifest to us when we look around ourselves and we see the weakness that we're compassed about with every day? That is indeed a sign that we are indeed a fallen people. We are fallen and sinful and corrupt people. We die. The world around us crumbles. God says, you will be like grass, so that you will know your estate, so that you will be left hopeless apart from me. The natural man builds up all kinds of defenses against that. But the Lord says to his people, apply then unto me. You cannot find what you need in your own strength or prowess. You must come to me. Moses got that. Moses was a man, remember, who, if some might be tempted, like the Apostle Paul, you know, to rely upon the flesh, remember that Moses died at what age? 120 years. And what does the Bible say about him? His eye was not dim, neither was his natural force abated. If anyone might say, you know, I'm doing pretty good here, it would be Moses. But Moses writes that we must apply to the Lord, because no matter how strong we are, no matter how much we have, no matter what the gifts are, they come to an end. The days of our years are 70, or if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Moses says there's even a witness in the days of our strength, that labor and sorrow tells us who we are, tells us that we are but transitory flesh. And so we must not rely upon ourselves. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Verse 11. It is indeed in the wrath of God that men are in the estate that we are in. You understand that, right? This is God's displeasure with sin that has ordered the fallenness of our race. We ought to recognize the precursors to the eternal judgment in the judgment that we have in ourselves and in our bodies every day. This reminds us of the end that will soon come upon us all. And that is indeed the power of God's anger. So then teach us, Moses says, to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Very clear then that thinking rightly about ourselves means that we turn away from advertising and relying upon and proclaiming our strength, our prowess, our gifts. And instead, we apply our hearts unto wisdom. And so Moses cries out before the Lord and says, how long, Lord? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. And so as they have felt this wrath of God, as they have felt this displeasure of God upon them throughout that wilderness and wandering and throughout the deprivations and so on, even in the midst of God's provision, Moses cries out with hope that there will be indeed an end to the afflictions and establishment of the work of their hands. Make us glad. Oh, sorry, verse 14. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. You know what the way of rejoicing and gladness is then? The way of rejoicing and gladness is the way of acknowledging God's mercy. It's not in advertising our strength. It's not in relying upon our gifts. It's not in our pride and refusal to come to grips with our sin. Joy and gladness is found in the acknowledgement of mercy, God's mercy. All right, so then these prayers, these requests at the end of this prayer in Psalm 90, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and years wherein we have seen evil. In other words, what Moses is saying here is take that which wherein we have been afflicted and turn it to good. Turn our afflictions unto good, spiritual good for us. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory to their children. And so notice it is indeed multi-generational again. And then finally, verse 17. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. That is, those things that are done in the beauty of the Lord, in His cause, in His holiness, and so on. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we have before us in Psalm 90 a very humble psalm, and yet we also have a very hopeful psalm, don't we? Let's stand.